Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the political upheaval in Greece, where parties on the far left and far right appear to be benefiting from the distress caused by austerity while offering rhetorical solutions to a growing economic crisis. A former US diplomat living in Greece, John Brady Keesling, joins us to discuss the angry mood in Greece, where many voters want to tear up the austerity deals with the EU and take their chances on defaulting, bringing back the drachma, and diving into a depression. Then we will speak with the former White House economic advisor, Jared Bernstein, who was Vice President Biden's chief economist. We will discuss what the White House can do to improve the economy in the face of determined Republican opposition to any stimulus, even though there is growing evidence that austerity policies are stifling growth and recovery in Europe. Then finally, we will speak with Tanya Lerman, an anthropologist who has done extensive fieldwork with religious evangelicals in the United States. Her latest book is When God Talks Back, Understanding the American Evangelical Relationship with God. And she has an article in Monday's New York Times, Do As I Do, Not As I Say. Joining us now is John Brady Keesling, who worked for 20 years in the Foreign Service of the United States State Department. He resigned publicly from the U.S. Embassy in Athens to protest the damage done to U.S. interests and alliances by the George W. Bush's administration's foreign policy, particularly the war in Iraq. And he's remained in Greece since then. Mr. Keesling's latest book is Diplomacy's Lessons, Realism for an Unloved Superpower. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Brady Keesling.
Thanks for having me.
And I take it things in Greece are extremely unsettled since the election has now brought forth pretty much the extremes of the left and the right. And now the head of a left-wing party, Syriza, Alex Tsipras, has now been asked to form a government, and he is basically is going to reject the IMF EU bailout deal, which he's described as barbaric. So tell us what's the latest in terms of coalition forming and in terms of this political upheaval in Greece.
It's been a really depressing election. The results are mathematically about as bad as you can get. The election law was designed for a two-party system to make sure there was a stable government. The result in this case was the seat allocation doesn't reflect the mood of the public, and there's no clear message from the public of what they want, except that they want something they're not going to get. Tsipras, the head of Syriza, you know, the coalition of the radical left, has spent a few hours making brave declarations about how it's possible for Greece to go back to the good old days and somehow pay for everything, because Europe will come through in the end. But Europe is saying it's not going to come through in the end. And there is simply not enough coalition partners who believe Tsipras to form a government at this point.
And that includes the center-right New Democracy Party, right, of Antonis Samaras. They got the most number of votes, but they failed to form a government. Who is Tsipras talking to now?
Tsipras has talked to three of the small parties, and two of which are outside of parliament, and they say, sure, fine, we will support you. But he saved the difficult parties for tomorrow. He, in the meantime, made a statement essentially telling PASOK, the Socialist Party and New Democracy, that the only basis for a deal is if they send a letter to the European Union renouncing the previous agreements they had signed. And Samaras of New Democracy has come back and said, the hell we will. That would cause Greece to fall out of the euro and probably fall out of Europe. And he's made clear that's not a basis even for discussion. PASOK is much more flexible. They're saying we will, support a left government on the condition that they do nothing that jeopardizes Greece's remaining in the euro, which is what the Greek people say they want.
So Tsipras, could he form a government? Is there enough seats with the Democratic Left Party and the communists who so far have not backed him?
Basically, there aren't enough seats unless it would take all of the other parties in Parliament except for Crécy Avié, the neo-Nazi party.
That's Golden Dawn, right?
Golden Dawn, sorry, yes. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure he's going to hand back the mandate tomorrow night and give PSOC a try.
Meaning what? That PSOC will have to try and form a government?
PSOC will then repeat the process of having 3 days in which to go to New Democracy and the other parties and say, here is our proposal for forming a government of national unity, which will keep Greece in the euro, but somehow begin a process of negotiating better terms or gentler terms with the European Central Bank, with the IMF, with the European Commission. PSOC has taken, I think, the most responsible stance of the parties in Parliament, but they know intellectually that the room for negotiation is very tiny, and Tsipras doesn't actually want to be responsible for the government right now in a situation of almost hopeless economic difficulties.
So you're in Athens as we speak. It's late there. I thank you for staying up to talk to us, Brady. So Tsipras, what you're telling us then is that Tsipras, this new party, Syriza, is just, it's all rhetoric and no reality, right? And does it necessarily reflect the Greek people? I mean, they're frustrated, but they're not entirely suicidal, right?
That's right. The Syriza came out of the Euro-communist movement in Greece. It used to be the most, civilized and interesting of the leftist parties in Greece. Unfortunately, there was a split where the grown-ups basically left, and Tsipras is head of a much more radical, much more populist movement. The percentage he got in this election reflects basically anger at the two large parties. Almost all of my younger friends voted for Tsipras's party, essentially saying it's the best way to send a message of rejecting, two generations of corruption. That said, it's not at all clear to me that they believe that Tsipras can do what he promises, which is give everyone full pay, full pension, full employment, and do it just by taxing rich people. Unfortunately, rich people in Greece, if you try to tax them, they just go back to London. So that's not realistic. Tsipras, to maintain Greece's old lifestyle, has to bring in lots of new money from Europe, and Europe does not have lots of new money to spend.
Well, they've spent $310 billion so far in bailing out Greece. There's a 30 billion euro installment due in June. And if Tsipras were in power and able to enact his policies, as you pointed out, I think it's pretty obvious that they'd be defaulting on the loans and essentially be kicked out of Europe and have to return to the drachma.
The good news here is that Europe traditionally is pretty understanding of domestic political convulsions. I think they will give Greece more time to solve this. The thing I'm sad about is I think everyone's already concluded that there's no room for a government with the current composition of parliament. They're going to try to go to new elections in a month and blame some other party for the fact that they've done so. And I'm not optimistic at all that new elections will change the picture enough to make the delay worth it. And then essentially at that point, they will have to confront reality, which is either deep austerity, which could be improved a little bit, or else leaving the euro and going into a deep and horrifying depression.
So obviously the choices are grim, and in those conditions, rhetoric is a balm against reality, I would think. And I'm, personally sympathetic to this party, Syriza, and their policies. And you say that all your young friends voted for them. I don't blame them. There's nothing good to be said about the previous governments and about the extent to which the Greek people are being squeezed, while the banks that made these reckless loans are not being held to account. So there's a, you know, one has some sympathy, but when you talk about the downside of defaulting, I guess the only example out there is Argentina, right?
Argentina defaulted. It's still having difficulties, but it was basically a much richer country in terms of natural resources than Greece is. Greece will always survive based on services it can provide in a globalized economy. I mean, tourism, shipping, things of that sort. Unfortunately, the promises that were made to the Greek people for two generations, really, and by both parties, both of the major parties, were so unrealistic. All of the difficult decisions were kicked down the road too long. You can only have a social welfare state that works if every once in a while someone comes in and makes it disciplined again, you know, cuts off the welfare cheats for a bit, so that you can have a healthy welfare system for everyone else, raise taxes at certain points so that you can lower them when you need to. You know, a common sense, a balanced approach, which fell out, you know, which never happened, which turned out to be politically too difficult, so no one did it. Now that you have a population that really just cannot face the horror that waits for it and is looking for magical solutions, Tsipras has offered them. These ultra-nationalists of two different parties have offered them. The two major parties are a bit more responsible in their rhetoric, but they're so deeply discredited that now that they've, you know, seen the light, no one believes them, and this is hard.
So is it a situation in Greece where you have welfare cheats on the left and, you know, non-tax-paying oligarchs on the right who are ready to fly out of town the minute that anybody asks them to pony up some taxes?
I would say that you have a whole political spectrum that is based on the idea that the state and Europe are cows to be milked by anyone who's clever enough to do it. The level of civic morality here is pretty low. The sense that everyone else is cheating is very high. And unfortunately, the response to that, which was to create this incredibly cumbersome state mechanism, it didn't make people honest. It just made everyone better at being corrupt. And so I'd take a libertarian view. You need to dismantle the Greek state and start over. That said, I would like, once it starts over, I would like there to be a Greek welfare state again, but it just, the reform process, it needs to be so sweeping, and the change of mentality needs to be so sweeping that it'll be a 10-year process, even if we're lucky.
So the recent efforts, I take it, by the last government to publish a list of the nation's biggest tax cheaters, who apparently included all of the big tycoons along with sports figures and entertainment figures, I take it that went nowhere.
A bunch of people were paraded to jail, and it made the public feel slightly better for a few minutes. But then, you know, the jails are already overcrowded, and they couldn't keep them. And one of the problems is the tax code is so absurd that the tax system is counterproductive in any case. The wrong people are asked to pay the wrong amount of money, and the government doesn't really know how much people should pay, so they charge arbitrary amounts and say, pay it or we will put you in jail, which isn't the best way to collect taxes. Greece would be much better off with a lower tax rate, but very strict enforcement of that rate. I don't see that happening anytime soon. There was one party calling for it, but it did not pass the threshold into parliament.
But Brady Keesling, you're telling us that this is a national kind of moral issue, that you this is a country that's been getting away with borrowing money and living high, and nobody much pays taxes, and there are lots of ghost jobs and ghost pensions and this kind of stuff. So give us a sense then of the reality check that's going on now, teetering on default, and the national dialogue. I mean, you know, it sounds a bit like what's required with Alcoholics Anonymous. The first thing you have to do in AA is say, you know, tell everybody in the world that you're an alcoholic and admit it. Is there going to be a come to Jesus moment here in Greece?
Sok has gone and made that statement. A few of the smaller parties have, and everyone else has derided them for it. People are still blaming George Papandreou of PASOK for going to the European Union and saying, sorry, it turns out our deficit was twice as large as we had told you before. And he was criticized for being naively honest, which got Greece into trouble, as opposed to being praised for confronting reality. The state of denial is huge. The only thing, to be fair, actually, per capita Greek debt is rather lower than per capita U.S. debt. We're behaving just as short-sightedly, we Americans, as Greeks are, just we have a larger economy, so it'll take a few more years for it to come and hit us upside the head. But at some point, any state has to balance its books more or less to survive. Greece was careless and greedy and had a too incestuous a political system for too long. Whether the U.S. system will take the lesson from Greece, the correct lesson from Greece, not the sort of the Republican aha lessons.
You mean austerity, the very thing that got them in the hole?
Yeah. Well, no austerity.
Well, austerity was a response
to good government. Yeah. Reducing government is good. I remember when Al Gore was reinventing government in the Clinton administration, and the State Department emerged from that stronger because we stopped wasting resources and had to use our brains instead. And that part is good, but simply, whacking everybody randomly, which is what the Greek state did, is catastrophically bad, and it doesn't work in the U.S. either.
Well, just in closing, Brady Kiesling, what about the role of Goldman Sachs in hiding Greek debt? And is that a big factor? I mean, there's no excuse for it. It's criminal. But how big a factor is it in this Greek debt disaster?
It's a pretty small factor. I resent the fact that to achieve a very short-term concealment of a few billion euros in Greek debt to meet some arbitrary EU targets, Greece had to pay hundreds of millions to Goldman Sachs in completely useless expense. But Goldman Sachs didn't cause the problem. The fundamental problem was an economy, people living beyond their means and not, borrowing money not for investment but for consumption. Goldman Sachs is, brilliant at making money off other people's stupidity, but it's not responsible for their being stupid, except on very rare occasions, and this wasn't one of them, I'd say.
And what about the German banks? Germany's been the beneficiary of the euro. They've expanded their export markets, and now they're basically adopting a kind of racist attitude. Well, you people in the South are lazy and you don't pay your taxes, and screw you.
Yeah, this is a very dangerous philosophy, and Mrs. Merkel has had to pander to that sentiment and for her own domestic electoral reasons, though she knows better in the end. Germany has benefited very much from the way the euro and the single market have worked. Germans sometimes forget that. The German technocratic establishment is fighting hard to save the euro and to save Greece within the euro, but they're doing it as much by stealth as they can because it's not popular among ordinary German citizens for logical reasons. The German banks, obviously want to be protected. So does the European Central Bank. So do the Greek banks. That's, you know, it's their business to be greedy, and it's the business of regulators to keep them from being as greedy as they want to be. The balance, I don't know where the balance is going to be struck. Greek banks at the moment are struggling to stay alive because they took a huge hit from the debt restructuring. So did Greek pension funds. You know, you cannot simply write off debt and have everything magically be easier, because most of the debt is owed to yourself in one way or another.
Well, Brady Keesling, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
You're very welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with John Brady Keesling, who worked for 20 years in the Foreign Service of the United States State Department. He resigned publicly from the U.S. Embassy in Athens to protest the damage done to U.S. interests and alliances by the George W. Bush's administration's foreign policy, particularly the war in Iraq, and he's remained in Greece since then. Mr. Keesling's latest book is Diplomacy's Lessons, Realism for an Unloved Superpower. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking to a recent advisor to the Obama administration's economic team.
Kiss me on a weekday, a weekday, a weekday's the day to be my guest. But never, never on